Good morning and welcome to the Morning Fix podcast. We're super excited to be here today with Jonathan Wilson at the South by Southwest 2023 conference. And we're doing a first today in that it's our very first in-person interview since we started this podcast. So we couldn't think of a better guest to be here with us today. So Jonathan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here?
Yeah, great. Well, first off, thanks for having me and really excited to have this conversation. So Jonathan Wilson, I am the founder and CEO of Envy Mind Health. And prior to that, I started a nonprofit, the SEAL Future Foundation, which was stood up to help my former teammates find their next purpose in life. And there's a few ways we've done that. And then obviously I spent time as a Navy SEAL myself. There was a bit of a time period in there post my service where I was in finance. I spent time at Goldman Sachs as an equity trader and then off to Capital Group. So I guess that's the formal bio. And I'm married. I have kids. I have one that's graduating college. And I have my youngest is 12. So five kids total, three girls, two boys. Live in Denver, Colorado.
Well, thank you for that. Just wanted to ask this first question. Sure. As a former Navy SEAL, when transitioning from military service to civilian life, do you have a personal experience or connection as it relates to mental health for veterans? I'd love to hear more about that.
Yeah. So I served in total 16 years. My first go at this was 10 years in service. So multiple deployments, Iraq, Afghanistan, Africa, and I mentioned earlier at an interview, I was also in South America. It wasn't really a deployment. It was more how to learn how to surf, and we were in Chile. But that transition and that time period was the hardest thing I've ever done in my life. Yeah. It wasn't SEAL training. It wasn't losing friends to war. It wasn't just the destruction that war causes. It really was trying to figure out how to replace my purpose, my tribe, my brotherhood, and I didn't know how to do it. I didn't have coaching. There was no transition program out of the military. They train you how to be in the service, but they don't train you how to be out of it. And I struggled immensely, and I fell to depression and anxiety. I had, for the first time in my life, despite being successful, I had suicide ideations. I have a beautiful family that loves me, and I was working on Wall Street. I was making a lot of money, and yet here we are with all these emotions I've never had before. And it took me a while to figure out what was going on. And that's what stood up the nonprofit, is to teach and share and educate my community, the veteran community, on how hard this is. But honestly, that story is what set me down on this path to this business as well. It's just, I feel it is my purpose to share my story and help others with their transition. So
was it just the transition of being in this intense environment and then not having a lot of sort of support on how to transition to civilian life? And I'm surprised that there would be. And is there training today? Are there support services today?
No, so a couple of things on that. I'll start with that last part. Is there still is, and I think they're getting better. They're recognizing the challenges and then what that could mean. You know, I've lost more teammates to now suicide than I have in 16 years of being a SEAL. It's insanity. But they're starting to recognize the military that we do need some of these programs in place. So I think they are moving towards implementing them. When there's a gap, we fill that gap, and that's exactly what we did with this nonprofit. There was a massive gap in transition, so we stepped up, along with other nonprofits as well, recognizing, okay, maybe they need support with education, maybe they need support with job placement, maybe we don't understand how to translate how being a Navy SEAL sniper, how does it translate into corporate America? It does. But we just didn't know how to do that, right? Our resumes just weren't, you know, you give it to somebody in HR and they look at that. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do with this? But what we didn't realize was maybe being a Navy SEAL sniper leader is where you need to focus your energy on. It's like, I ran a team. I was in charge of, you know, millions of dollars worth of equipment, sensitive gear. Like, those are the things that translated, and we just didn't know how to do that. So, you know, in regards to that spot, the military does recognize there is a gap. I think they are moving in a direction to provide services. In the interim, these nonprofits have been stood up, ours being one of them, to fill that gap.
So talk about Envy Health and that space and what you have experienced and what you hope to do.
Yeah. So Envy started from, again, that nonprofit, and I'll share a little bit about that. We initially had at the SEAL Future Foundation stood up to provide scholarships, then job placement, and then communities around the country, because it's really important for these service members to go back into their communities, integrate, and continue to serve. But it can't just be military men and women just with each other. We need to integrate with society. We need to get back with the civilians in that area, the leaders in that space to help us integrate. So that was a big part of it. And then our fourth pillar is wellness. And unfortunately or fortunately, I consider him a leader in the space, and he was in the SEAL teams. We stood up wellness after a suicide. So a good friend of ours was a SEAL Team 6 member. We were supposed to meet with him Monday to provide services to help him transition. Yeah. On Sunday night, he had massive amounts of traumatic brain injury and nobody knew it. He took his life.
Oh my gosh.
So that was the first of many. And, but in some regards, just like he was in the SEAL teams, he was a leader to show us like we need new tools, we need new resources, we need a new program. So at the foundation, we stood up a program around wellness, and it was first identifying what are the resources and tools we have yeah. to support PTSD, TBI, depression, anxiety. But how do we measure if this is working or not was a big thing for us. So we put wearables on over 2,000 Navy SEALs, and we measured the impact that it was having. So if you take an antidepressant, is that the best thing for you? Well, let's look at the biometrics. If you just go for a walk or do meditation, or if you're taking psychedelics, was brought up earlier, what's the impact that it has? Because there is something that works for you, and it might not be the same solution that's needed for me in that mental health crisis or that mental health situation. The other thing that wearable allowed us to do, it allowed us to see all the different SEALs on one page and realize who wasn't doing well from their biometrics. So it was a stoplight method, red, yellow, green. If they're in the red for 3 days, let's just intervene. The whole Envy Mind Health idea was birthed from that. I saw, you know, I call it an obligation. Some would say it's an opportunity. It's not. It's an obligation. I truly feel like this is why I'm on this earth. It's an obligation to create something for humanity, for society. We need new tools and resources. So we took that idea. It's not a wearable. We are a software that pulls, we have APIs to all the different wearables. We pull the important information that we need. We roll it up into what we call a mind score. Mm-hmm. That mind score shows you where you're at in regards to your mental health journey. There's going to be ups. There's going to be downs. No judgment here. Your baseline is different than mine. So now we understand where we're at and where we're trending. So there is a predictive component to this, or there can be, that shows you you might be trending down. We have two solutions, if you will. One is community. So if you and I are best friends, historically in the SEAL teams at least, if you ask me how I was doing, I would sometimes lie to you because of the stigma, plus I'm supposed to be a Navy SEAL and we show no weakness and we suffer in silence. So there's all these mantras that we had, doesn't work when we get out of the military. So what we saw was, and what we knew was, I would do anything for you. I would literally die for you and you would for me. So let's share each other's scores. And now that's going to force a real conversation. So when I call you now and you say I'm doing fine, I can be like, wait a second. Your score is saying otherwise. Like, what's really going on? Well, actually, I got in a fight with my wife. I'm staying at a hotel. We might be getting divorced here. Okay, let's figure out this problem. So that's one solution that we have. The other is, again, what I mentioned earlier, is this personalized solutions. We give you our own content. So maybe it is mindfulness. Maybe it is breath work. Maybe it's yoga, but we can also input things like medicine in there. Let's see the impact that all those things are having so our algorithm can look and tell how it's impacting you through your biometrics, through your heart rate variability, your sleep. And it shows you what's working for you. In time, we can remove what doesn't work and just give you the solution sets that do. So it's this loop now. You have your friends, your community. It doesn't have to just be one person. It could be your family. It could be maybe your sports team. It could be at a nonprofit. We have access to all of our users. It gives you the solutions, and we constantly just move back to baseline.
Well, I think that's remarkable. And I think what I'm hearing is that there is so much accountability mm-hmm. because you're able to, this software pulls in data from other wearables. Could you talk about that a little bit from a technical perspective? So if somebody's wearing something that manages their heart rate or something, you're able to see that within your software. And yeah. then you know that if they're in the red or in the yellow, then that's when you know you need to reach out to them and provide them support.
Yeah, so we have these APIs to the different wearables, Aura, Garmin, Apple Healthcare Kit. So Apple has 30% of the market. But we pull we pull all the information if we're allowed. And I want to share too that it's not our intent to sell this data. We're not selling data. This isn't what this business is about. We want to help people. We've seen enough suffering. We've lost friends. We have tons of challenges in our lives already. What this organization is not going to do is sell data. What we are going to do is help us understand how to improve our, what we would say in the military, our fighting position or our mental health state. So we pull that information and we roll it up with our algorithm to the Mind Score. That Mind Score has been, we've been working with doctors for probably now 7 months. Once a week, every Thursday, we get on a call with them and they help us weigh out these different factors. So how much in the depression score, and there's tons of correlation between heart rate variability and depression. If you think about it, sleep and depression, anxiety, but how do we weight these factors? So our doctors and PhDs meet with us once a week and we started weighting it out. And then there is data samples that we've been running this against to see how accurate it is. And it's going to take time. And our first, so we do have an MVP and we are working with 100 Navy SEALs these next few months to sit here and tell us what's working and what's not for our team to just constantly refine that algorithm. But in time, that algorithm is just going to get better and better. And that Mind Score is going to get more accurate and accurate. So I'm not sure if that answered the question, but hopefully it did.
And when do you think that this technology will be ready for prime time and beyond your MVP?
Yep. So it's going to be the summer. right now we're testing it out with 100 SEALs. We also were in Boston and New York last week. So our initial demographic that we're targeting, and maybe that's not the right word, but that we're going after is the veteran population. It's something that I love and care about deeply. But I also care about the rest of humanity and society, so we want to move past that as soon as possible. But Boston and New York last week was because we're talking to FDNY, the Boston Police Department as well, and we want to help them as well. And actually, right after this, we're meeting with one of the fire chiefs here in Austin, and what he shared with me last night was they've lost quite a few folks to suicide these last few years as well. So we're going to sit down with them, show them the technology as well, and see if this is a good fit for them. But we are moving forward with Boston, and we are moving forward with a couple of other organizations.
I'm so happy to hear you say that. That was actually going to be my follow-up question. My husband's a retired police officer, and he has, he's shared that he knows more people from suicide that have retired from the police force than he knew his whole life. I mean, similar to your experience. Yeah. And I think, one of the stigmas and, probably I would think with, military and special forces, like there's a stigma that you're proud, you're strong, you can do it. You don't need any help, and you may have covered that. But so I would love to see this, especially it seems for the retirees, I think when they sort of lose a sense of purpose, in that day-to-day helping people and that adrenaline rush that they get every day, and they don't have that anymore.
Absolutely.
So it can be a tough transition to, back to the real world, if you will.
Yeah. I think that point of purpose is really important. And I didn't realize that when I went to Goldman, my purpose was now make as much money as possible. For somebody that served and joined the military to protect others that can protect themselves, and now I'm making as much money as possible. It's just, there was such a huge disconnect to your point earlier. And it's the same thing with police officers, firefighters, et cetera. We're going out there to serve others, the community, and help. And now here we are trying to find a job as, somebody working at a grocery store, and not that there's not purpose there, but it's just a huge disconnect from what you were doing previously.
Yeah, so, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, we're really excited, to see how this technology evolves. And are there other companies that are doing similar technologies just focused on mental health among veterans?
There are quite a few. Not quite a few. There's one company that we know that's doing providing resources, but I think a big differentiator for us is that we measure the impact that these resources are having. So we want to customize the resources because, again, we're all unique creatures, and what works for Mark doesn't work for me. So and nothing against that, because we do know some of the solutions that do work. And if they want to provide those solutions, amazing. We love that. We just want to refine it to the point where we can just really identify what's working for the individuals.
I wanted to say as we're talking, and I understand there's all these categories of individuals that we are targeting who went from these high pressure situations like the military, like the fire department or the police force, and then they're going back into a more sort of mild civilian life. But I'm also seeing some other applications. I know kids are we talked about suffering in silence. Kids mm-hmm. suffer, especially nowadays with the pressure of social media. There's so much pressure on our youngsters. Yeah. I see huge applications within those younger generations. Have you thought about that?
100%.
Talk about that a little bit.
So we moved to Denver right in the middle of COVID, but prior to that, we were in Connecticut, and that's when COVID kicked off. And unfortunately, we saw these athletes and these just superstar kids starting to take their lives. I mean, we've all seen it and heard these stories. It was happening just at a rapid rate. That's maybe because of COVID and the isolation, but then there was also this like social media aspect to it that you brought up, is just the bullying that takes place and just the pressures of social media to try to do something or be something that you're not, but social media is forcing you to do that. And then you're not being liked or you're not being included.
You're not getting enough likes, or you're getting trolled, or there's cyberbullying. Yeah. There's a whole new element.
Yeah. And, my son was a freshman when COVID happened, and he went, and had some really tough challenges. And we didn't know how to help him as parents. And, you know, it was part of why we're building this, is not just him, but all these children out there as well. So, he's been an inspiration to me, and he's on his path now. He's a senior in high school, and he's thriving, and it's just beautiful to see. But, you know, there's a huge opportunity or obligation, again, for us to create better tools, especially for our children. I mean, this is why we're doing everything that we do, supposedly, right? So that's something we absolutely talk about quite a bit.
What about UT? There's ties to UT.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell us about what you're doing with the Dell Medical School.
So I'll share my story, and I haven't been completely transparent, but I will be now. So I shared that I struggled and around my mental health when I went to Goldman, and it got to a really bad place. And I tried everything. I went to the VA, and the VA is a massive medical system, and it's hard to crack into. And I finally caved. One, again, I'm invincible. I'm a Navy SEAL. I don't need this. This isn't for me. But why am I feeling the way? Why am I so angry? Why am I hypervigilant? Is my back in the corner of a subway? So I finally caved and went to the VA and couldn't find a parking spot. Took me over an hour. I showed up late. Didn't intend to. I'm in the military. I'm at least 15 minutes early, but I couldn't find a parking spot. I had to park almost a mile away. Finally walked there, and then I got scolded for being late, and just where I was at in my life, I didn't want any part of that. So I walked away from that situation. Talked to therapists. A lot of therapists didn't know how to support me just because of some of the unique experiences that I've had in my life, and nothing against them. They're probably really good at what they do, but we need qualified individuals to support this military, police, law enforcement community. Antidepressants, and then, you know, everything that I tried just didn't work. And again, society is telling me, it's like, why are you so upset? Why are you sad? Why are you depressed? Like, you're at Goldman Sachs and you're a Navy SEAL and you have Ivy League education. You have a beautiful family. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you?
On paper, that's what everybody aspires to.
Yeah. And yet now I know that's not what we should be aspiring to. And you may already know that. What is your purpose in life? But I went to a barbecue and I saw a former teammate of mine that was kicked out of the Navy SEALs for drinking. And we all thought he was going to commit suicide. Like, if you get kicked out of the Navy SEALs for drinking, you have a real drinking problem. He got kicked out of the Navy as well. They have a real problem, and we didn't know how to help him. And I saw him at a barbecue, and I didn't even know who it was. He runs up and he's like, hey, gives me a big hug. And I'm looking at him like, who is this guy? And he was glowing. He had long blonde hair, and that's just not normal in our community. And he was just literally glowing, this energy, just positive energy. And he proceeds to tell me who it is. I was like, oh my gosh, it was the same guy that was obese before. And he had just, like, you can tell he had a drinking problem in his face. And he proceeds to tell me he used psychedelic intervention to help him. And I thought, oh my gosh, this guy lost his effing mind. Like, because I was in the military, zero tolerance. That's a drug. The world told you it was a drug. but he planted a seed, and I got on the computer and I started researching this, and I was like, oh my gosh, there's something here. Like, the research is just, I could not believe it. I just became fascinated with it and dove deep to the point where I was like, what do I have to lose? I've tried everything. And I honestly credit psychedelics with saving my life. No doubt in my mind. I am a completely different human being today. I didn't have perspective. I was an asshole. Didn't realize how much I didn't care about other people. My ego was massive, and the list goes on and on. But it did help me with that.
I don't see that, but go on. I don't see that.
It's taken a lot of time and a lot of psychedelic medicine to help me with that. But it's been such a blessing, and this community just cares about so many people, and they just want to help. So for me, it saved my life, and it set me down this path of like, okay, this worked for me, maybe it can work for others. And our nonprofit has coached people and shared. We don't tell people what to do, but we share the impact that it's having on us. And we have a community that's now helped hundreds of veterans go through this psychedelic-assisted therapy. There's nonprofits that have now been stood up. My wife went through this. Mm-hmm. And oh, by the way, we have 5 kids again, and we've been married for, 20 years now. I was never in a relationship in my whole life until we both did psychedelics. Yeah. And we came back, and I was like, oh, this is what it's like to love somebody. And we knew how to love somebody because for the first time in our lives, we knew how to love ourselves. So she has a nonprofit called The Hope Project that helps women, veterans, folks that have done, supported veteran families. But these women go through the psychedelic assisted therapy as well. So to answer your question, what are we doing with UT Dell Medical School? So we partnered with them. They're doing psychedelic research for combat veterans. They're going to do 40 of them. And we partnered with them to be the data and analytics company to collect the information. Fascinated with how this is impacting our biosphere, our biometrics. So we're going to collect the data prior to the research, during the research, and then post the research to see the impact that it has on the body and on the mind.
That is so cool. Well, I full disclosure also, I am working with the National Psychedelics Association.
Okay.
And they are trying to advocate for safe and legal access to these therapies.
Yeah.
They're trying to work with the DEA to get some of them recategorized and reclassified. And right now their focus really is on Oregon and Colorado, where recent legislation has made psychedelic assisted therapies, that's a mouthful, legal.
Yeah.
Right. And so I've done a lot of research myself and watched the Michael Pollan documentaries, if you haven't seen those. But it's really interesting to see that there was a lot of research going on in the 50s on this.
Oh, yeah.
And it was working for a lot of people who had no other hope. Nothing was working. So I'm really excited to hear about that. And I did not know about that study at Dell, so we're going to have to check that out.
Yeah. And then I was just thinking, I was talking to my wife. She spoke yesterday, it was Friday. She spoke on Colorado's Capitol Hill to advocate for this. And then we've spoken at Connecticut, University of Penn together, sharing our story. But we're a part of this community that's advocating as well. So thanks for what you're doing there.
Yeah. And actually, you're not the only person that I know now that has said that it changed, if not saved their life. So interesting.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for sharing your story. Unexpected and interesting, and sounds like there's a lot of hope there and inspiration. Hopefully that, hopefully we'll have more of these stories in the future.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for joining us. It was a really great conversation. We loved meeting you. And to all of our listeners, thank you so much. And we're excited to be here at South by Southwest. Look for more episodes coming soon.